Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. If you want to reach us, you can. 312-981-7200. We would love to hear from you. You know what I heard today that I thought is it's a slice of the future?
People are going to the International Space Station?
Well, yes. And we'll discuss that on the show. You'll have a chance to go to the International Space Station. Everybody will be able to float in space. I was listening to Steve Cochran's show, and you know, Dean Richards is on every day for More on Entertainment.
I love it.
And Dean had a story about Jussie Smollett, and they decided that instead of just doing the story, they would let the audience vote on whether or not the story would be told. So they took the first 10 either callers or texters, and it was up to their decision of whether or not that story would be told. They decided against it. Spoiler alert.
But they told it.
They eventually told it, despite
it
being voted down. But as it was happening, I thought to myself, this is what the future is going to be. It already is to some extent, in that if you like a certain amount of stories online, that news source will feed you those type of stories. But don't you think in the very near future, you'll be watching television, and somehow they'll say, here's a couple of things. We could talk about the president. We can talk about what's going on in the Middle East. We could talk about what's going on with and people will have keyboards, and they'll just type in, I don't care about that. I don't care. Oh, I'd like to hear more about that. That's what's going to happen very, very soon, don't you think?
I'm surprised it's not happening already.
I know.
Because, you know, I get a news feed, and you can choose which sources you get it from.
Right.
So why isn't that already connected to the smart TV?
That's a good question. Do you remember years ago when you and I were at The Loop, somebody made a movie where during the movie you would have a keypad in your hand and you would continuously throughout the movie vote on what was going to happen next? Like
I do.
If a guy was going to, let's do this, I didn't see the movie so I don't know exactly how it was implemented, but if a guy was going to go into a castle and then all of a sudden you could go, I don't think that guy should go into that castle. So you would vote no, and then he wouldn't go into the castle. He would go somewhere else.
I think there are kids' books like that, too, where you make a choice, and then you turn to a different page. And
Black Mirror, that last episode, Bandersnatch or whatever.
I didn't see it. Does that kind of happen in there?
Yeah, you can choose, you know, should he take these pills or should he not? I'm just throwing that out there. And you can decide, and then you go back and it reloads so you can pick the other one to see how the story differs.
All right. So is all that interactivity, is that good or is that bad? I can't figure it out if it's good or bad.
For certain things, I think it's pretty cool. For a movie, I wouldn't want to, you know, pick the ending.
Well, you know, my wife, Terry, does some voiceover work. And a couple times she has done video game voiceovers. And if you've ever played a video game, you already know this. Throughout the game, you have the option of going left or going right or going straight. And so they have to record material for every possible outcome. So sometimes it's days and days of work where, you know, literally anything can happen. So they have to be covered on whatever aspect the player decides.
That's why I could never design a video game, one of the many reasons, but because I can't plan ahead that much.
Right. I mean,
I watch movies, and I know you studied film, and my son Dylan wants to be a director, so he tells me things as we're watching movies, and it's like, I just want to watch the movie.
Yeah.
I couldn't think that far in advance. And animation, oh my God, I can't. I guess a lot of times they do it computer-wise now, but in the past, and all those Davy and Goliath episodes, you have to move things like a little bit.
I don't know what we're supposed to do, Davy.
Well, the scariest one, I think, the application is the possibility of it happening to the news. And it does, like I said, it kind of does. You know, there's a situation where the type of stories that you choose, you are fed more of those types of stories.
Well, not only that, Bill, the type of stories that you click on, you know, media companies trying to get clicks now rather sometimes than provide the truth. Well, not the truth, but they will, story selection sometimes will drive or is being driven by what's popular, what's being clicked on.
Oh, yeah.
That was an awkward way of saying, so the reporters might not be covering important stories. They're covering stories that the bosses think
that
are
more
popular.
Interested in.
Trending, guys. Yeah. That's the big word.
Texter at 847 says, don't forget about Sheer Madness. This was the long-running play in Chicago where the audience continuously decided the fate of the characters in the play.
Is that true? I never saw it.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And at the time, so I was in, I think I was in either high school, I must have been in high school when we saw Sheer Madness, and it ran for a good long time in Chicago. no one saw anything quite like it. I mean, that it was a good play, but the selling point of seeing Sheer Madness was exactly that, was the fact that the audience was deciding the character's fate. And the game was only a fixed amount of things could happen, but to the casual observer, you were making all kinds of decisions for the play.
Why haven't there been more plays like that? Because that was so many years ago.
I don't know the answer to that.
It's kind of improv-y.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But it wasn't improv. It was just planned out. If the audience goes this way, here's how we do it.
Right. All right.
I wonder what kind of alerts and news feeds I'm going to get, because I watched a television show that I hate to admit I liked, and I'm ashamed, and you will be ashamed of me.
Oh.
I'll tell you afterwards.
You'll share that with the class? All right. That's coming up right after the news. Or right after this break, actually.
I'm ashamed of myself, Bill.
Why are you ashamed of yourself?
Well, I know there are certain people in your family that have watched the Real Housewives shows.
It baffles me.
This will baffle
I know
you.
I watch a lot of dumb stuff, but I just that don't just understand does not the appeal seem, of the Real Housewives at all.
And I often question that. Like, Terry doesn't seem the type to watch those type of shows.
It's just women fighting with each other, and then when it's done, Andy Cohen sits down with them, and they fight more. I don't understand it.
It just went from people in your family to Terry.
Right.
Well, Terry
was mainly my wife, but my daughters will also enjoy an episode or two. And I walk in the room, and it's women just screaming at each other. I don't like the way you were looking at him. Mind your own back and forth. I don't get it.
I think my new guilty pleasure is worse.
What is it?
I came upon something yesterday, and I was like, oh, let me see what's going on. And I ended up watching about 6 episodes.
Uh-oh.
Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Oh, no.
Oh, Wendy.
No. I'm sorry.
Make it stop.
Kris Jenner is a very good mom. Silence.
You're saying
I love
ironically,
it. No.
She is.
She's got mom. A lot to handle with those girls.
So let's say you had a daughter. And that daughter made a sex tape. And you figured out that it would be in the best interest for fame and fortune for that sex tape to exist. Would you consider yourself to be a good mom or a bad mom?
Well, you have to take what you're dealt. I mean, the mom didn't put out the sex tape.
No, but she facilitated it. She was okay with it. She knew that that was the bridge to stardom.
So the mom, Kris Jenner, okayed it? I thought
100%.
Kim just kind of put it out there on her own.
Mom helped.
Okay, I would never do that.
No.
But the show's good.
What did you see that made you watch 6 episodes of The Kardashians?
Well, it was various. I don't know if they were running them in any kind of order. I saw Caitlyn for a while, pre-Caitlyn. I don't know. No, she was called Caitlyn. I can't understand.
Yeah.
They were going out to lunch. It was Caitlyn and the 3 girls.
Yeah.
I saw a Christmas party that Kris Jenner... She put together this Christmas Eve party every year, and she turned it into a big extravaganza. And Kim sat down and said, Mom, Christmas Eve used to be so great when we were growing up. It was just family and friends, and now it's turned into just your party. So Kanye and I would like to take it over. You know, let it be more of... I don't know how she was explaining it, but more family friendly instead of this big hoopla.
So she just wanted it to be family
and
maybe
few
a couple
close
of
friends.
Maybe some cameras.
Yeah, but then as you see the result, they turn their house into this winter wonderland.
Yes.
And like crazy people were there, like Kathy Griffin.
Yes.
God, I can't even think who else was there. There were so many celebrities. It was not just family.
Right.
It was crazy, and I was enjoying myself watching
This is sad news. You'll continue to watch this?
No, I think I'm going to have Jim edit that channel off.
Right. Take it off your system.
Because I just fell upon it, and it was fascinating to me.
What, is that like 6 hours?
6 episodes.
I didn't watch 6 hours of it. Maybe I watched 3 episodes. I did fall asleep in the middle of it for a little nap, but it was on for a good 3 hours.
But watching it, you're being manipulated, right? You know that.
Manipulated how?
Because they're setting up things. I mean, it just, even though it's called reality television, it's not reality television. They're setting things
up.
Yeah,
I didn't think it was real.
producers are constantly saying,
still entertaining.
What do we throw in to make this, you know, more hopefully interesting?
My son Dylan walked in and said, what are you watching? And I said, Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And he turned the TV off.
Good for him.
I turned it back on. I don't know what it was, you guys. I was fascinated by the whole thing. Their makeup is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about Rob in this one episode, and Kris Jenner is saying, you know, Rob used to be a really good track. She was a track star, a basketball star,
yeah.
And then now he's gained 100 pounds in a year, and he just won't go out anymore. And whoever was interviewing them, sitting with them, saying, do you think he's depressed? No.
He might be a little bit.
So they were going to do this intervention and try and get him help. It was fascinating to me. Rob is not in the show. He refused to be part of it.
See,
smart
and I
one.
The person I respect the most is, you know, remember when Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne kind of resurfaced
loved
with their
show? Loved that
show,
too.
So one of their daughters just flat out said, I don't want to be mentioned in this show. I want no part of this show. I mean, they had another daughter and a son that were involved. But the one daughter just said, I don't want this to be my life. Count me out. And I didn't know anything about her other than that. And I went, good for you. I don't know how you get through a reality show unscathed. It's impossible.
Yes, but as someone just pointed out as they texted, it's okay, Wendy. Sometimes we just need to veg out. I mean, I didn't glean anything from it. I was peeking in.
So you just described a scene where a mom and her daughters were talking about their non-participating son being depressed
yes.
on TV.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's good or bad. It's not good. I couldn't help but watch it. And Rob's living with Chloe, and Chloe said, you know, you can't just ambush him like this. Maybe try to talk to him. You've never talked to him before. There's some real stuff going on there.
And doesn't he watch it?
I doubt it.
I don't know if he does or not, but if he opted out of this, shouldn't that also include any stories about him? Shouldn't like with the Osbournes, like I'll be honest, most people didn't even know the Osbournes had this other daughter. They so totally left her out of the picture. If you're Rob Kardashian, don't you go, just I don't want to, if you guys
want to. I would sue them.
Would you sue
them? Yeah. It would just make for another interesting episode.
That might be a good episode.
Rob is suing us now.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm going to watch it again because I'm afraid I really might get sucked into it.
Wendy, you're like 3 years late.
I know. Well, that's how I'm always late to the party, but the last one to leave.
Right. All right. There's that. I don't know. Anytime I go through and there's a reality show on, I feel dirty for being in the same room as the show. I feel like I need one of those chemical baths that Karen Silkwood took in Silkwood to just rinse myself of that.
Depends. I love Big Brother. That's going to be starting up again soon. I love watching that.
When my daughters were little, John and Kate plus 8 was just becoming a thing. And I would watch it because they were little and they were watching it, so I was in the room. I watched that family unravel before my very eyes. Like, in the beginning of John and Kate Plus 8, they were legitimately two people that were in love that had a bunch of kids, and there's your show. But that just unraveled so horribly.
Do you hear there's going to be a new one of those now?
Oh, no.
Something with Kate goes on a date or something?
Oh.
Yeah.
They're also...
Oh, good, I wanted to see more of her.
There's a 10-year anniversary of Teen Mom that I almost tuned into also. I got to get
remind
a life.
Me.
This so is that, just kids, teenagers who have had kids.
That's
and,
Farrah Abraham or something
I don't
like
know
that.
Any other names. I never
you're
watched
right,
them.
Yeah, Kate
you're
plus right. eight. Or Kate plus date.
Okay,
Kate
you're giving date. Me stuff and you know their names.
I know their names because they're always in the news, but it's never for doing anything. Like, usually if you're going to be newsworthy, you got to do something. But now, with reality television, you just have to exist and you get in the news somehow.
No, Teen Moms, it's, you know, a struggle, and they showed that. Now it's the 10-year anniversary, and some of the couples have actually worked things out and gotten back together. I'm not watching it, but I'm telling you, I am a sucker for even the promos.
Yeah.
What do you do that is unique that you could get a reality show?
I don't want to think about it.
You know, I know we like to be unique, but we're pretty normal when think about it.
I'm going to say this, and you'll tell me that I'm lying, but I'm not lying. If somebody said, here's $1 million, do a reality show, here's $1 million, I would say no thank you.
I wouldn't do it either.
Not a chance.
There are a lot of skeletons in my closet that I do not want everyone knowing.
But that's the point, Wendy. They
want to find them.
No, but you're still controlling the show. It's not really reality. They just wouldn't tell those parts.
It's a skewed reality. It's a tilted reality.
But it's the producers, Steve. So if they found some of those skeletons, they'd say, "Hey, let's bring these guys out." And I'd go, "No, they're meant for the closet."
Right.
And then to get ratings, that's why I need to control everything.
Right. Well, just give them $1 million back.
I wouldn't do it. I mean, do you think I would? Because I wouldn't at all.
Not for a million.
I wouldn't do it ever.
Good. 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 There. When
I have
my daughters
a radio
were little,
show right, and a microphone.
This is the reality show.
And then I can choose what I share.
All right. My daughters used to watch a show where I think it was called Little People Something.
Oh, yeah. I know.
It was a husband and wife that were both smaller people. And then they also watched a show where people were making cupcakes. So I said to my daughters, one day there will be a show with little people making cupcakes. And my daughters mentioned the show. There's already a show like that of little people making cupcakes. That's the whole show. Somebody pitched that idea. They go, "I know two little people and they love to make cupcakes." And they went, "Let's do it. Let's run with that. That's a show."
But I feel sorry for these people because they are just being exploited. They have something unique or different or non-functioning.
Right.
And it's just like the people they'd have on the Jerry Springer show.
I know.
I want to be an attorney or... I don't know if that's the right word because I don't want to go to law school. But I want to tell these people, listen, it seems too good to be true because it is.
It's too good to be true.
Yes, you're going to get a trip to Chicago or wherever they're filming this.
But you're going to be exploited.
And it's going to be on TV forever and ever.
I know.
And your face isn't blurry. There's no black box over your face.
Right. All right, we must take a break. We've got news and then a whole bunch more coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thanks, Steve. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. In a little bit, because it's Tech Tuesday, we'll check in with Roger Chang from CNET and find out what's going on in the world of technology. We'll also talk about your chance to go to the International Space Station. They've opened it up, so now anyone can go. They haven't mentioned a price yet, so that may be a little restrictive on the phrase anyone can go. We'll find out.
Even if it was free and there was a lottery, I would not enter.
Too risky?
It's scary. Yeah. Bad things can happen.
I agree. Speaking of which, I didn't know that there was video of David Ortiz getting shot in the Dominican Republic. Did you see the video of this? It's a little grainy. It's security cam video. And it looks like it was just random. Like this guy just comes in. They're in a bar, and it looks like he just walks in and shoots the person closest to the door of the bar. I don't know that he knew that it was David Ortiz. I don't know that that would change anything.
Did they catch anyone yet?
Steve, do you know the answer to that?
Oh, yeah, they caught him. They did catch him? Right away, yeah.
Was it a targeted shot or was it random? Because who would shoot Big Papa?
I think the guy was beaten up pretty badly, the guy who did the shooting. And I don't know if they've said that yet, but I mean, people say it looked like it was targeted.
Yesterday, before the White Sox game, Eloy Jimenez is also from the Dominican Republic, and they interviewed him about this. And just said, "What are your thoughts?" And he was very, very emotional about this, saying, "You know, it can be a very dangerous place." He's from there. He goes, "It can be a very, very dangerous place," and that this guy is one of the nicest, David Ortiz, Big Papi, as we call him, one of the nicest guys in the world. You hate to see this happen to anybody, but especially someone like him. The Red Sox have gone out of their way. They sent a private jet to pick him up in the Dominican Republic and bring him to Boston, where he's in a Boston hospital now. We hope he's okay. He's one of the most colorful characters in baseball history. He's such a good guy. So let's see what happens there.
I just like from SNL,
Kenan Thompson.
Kenan Thompson's when he does version, the
impression.
Yeah.
So funny.
It really is.
It really is. Do you know who the richest female musician in the world is right now? It's
Celine Dion.
See, I would have put her above the person who is the actual richest woman in music.
Taylor Swift.
I would have put her above, too. And actually, my guess, I had a guess that was wrong, is Madonna and Barbara Streisand. Right? All four of those, you would
Cher?
Think. No, it's not Cher
Gladys
either.
Knight?
No. Yoko Ono?
It's not Yoko Ono. Every one of these are great guesses, and every one I would put ahead of the person
who is a clue.
Became popular about a decade ago. Just shy of a decade.
That's the worst clue ever.
Yeah?
Miley Cyrus.
No. It's not Miley
Hannah
Cyrus.
Montana.
It's
same person. I hate to pull the curtain back.
Is she from Barbados?
She is from Barbados.
Well, I'm out.
That's a better clue, Jasmine, I will admit.
Havana, na, na, na.
No, it's not Havana, na, na, na.
Barbados, so, so.
That's not a person. Those are just, you're just making noises. That's not even close.
Sade.
Sade is not the richest woman in music.
I don't know who's from Barbados.
Think about who is your favorite Barbadian celebrity?
Barbadian.
Barbadian.
Barbado, yeah. I don't know.
Rihanna. Jinx. Rihanna is officially the world's richest female musician. In Forbes' annual list of America's richest self-made women for 2019, Rihanna tops the list as the highest paid woman in the music industry with an estimated worth to be somewhere around the $600 million area. $600 million is a lot, but I would have thought the richest woman in music would have been richer, wouldn't you?
Are you going, I mean, is this because of album sales and downloads and concerts? Because I'm still kind of surprised.
It's all-encompassing.
So Beyonce's not...
That's the earner for last year, right? Or is that accrued wealth?
I think that's accrued. Let's see. The publication stated that a good portion of Rihanna's wealth was acquired through her lucrative partnership with luxury company LVMH, with whom she launched her beauty cosmetics line in 2017.
Mm.
So this a lot of this wealth comes through her modeling, you know, her being a spokeswoman. Forbes reported that the cosmetics line has earned Rihanna $570 million in just 15 months worth of business.
No one's supposed to make that
That's
much
impressive.
Money. No one is supposed to have that. What
That's
do you
incredible.
Do with that? And why aren't you helping other people? If you have that much money, if you had that much money, wouldn't you help?
She might be.
But more people.
She needs to help more people.
You mean us?
Yeah, directly us.
No, I just...
Come on, Rihanna.
No person is supposed to have that much money.
No? Wouldn't you love to have that much money?
No,
really?
It would ruin me.
Uh-uh. You're solid steel. There's no way it would ruin you. The estimated honor places Rihanna ahead of her many peers in the music industry. Madonna was in second place.
Good guess, Bill.
That was a good guess, right?
Yeah.
She has $570 million.
Ooh.
It's pretty good. You can
right
live on
there.
That. You can live on that. Celine Dion.
All right. That's one of my guesses.
By law, Wendy, when I say Celine Dion's name, I have to pound my fist into my chest.
She
does that.
Wrapped up her long stay in Vegas and did this touching tribute to her husband as she sang, I think it was Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Wow.
And just this.
To Renee?
Yes, and these slide presentation that was, it was really touching.
Yeah. Beyonce is worth $400 million. She's in fourth place. And then Taylor Swift, you know, not as high as we thought at 360, a mere $360 million, Wendy.
She doesn't deserve it.
Wow.
Well, she's so different than these other two. I mean, I like Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I hate to admit that I do. She's good.
You know who I'm not who I am surprised is not up there is, who's the girl that was on American Idol, but she just won every country music award
last
week?
Yeah, Kelly Clarkson?
Not Kelly Clarkson.
God, what is her name?
She's real thin.
Randy Carlisle. No. There's someone who's like that who won a bunch of awards.
Yeah.
Carrie Underwood?
Carrie Underwood.
That's not Carrie Underwood.
No, you're thinking of the one who just won this year?
Yeah, didn't she just win a bunch of awards
the other night? No, she was about 10 years ago.
No, Carrie won some things.
She did just win a bunch, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty sure.
She did.
She wins them all the time.
Yeah. It's automatic. If she's nominated, she's like Meryl Streep. If you're nominated, they go, well, you got to give her the award. She's nominated.
She started on American Idol?
Yeah.
Yeah, she won American
Idol.
Wow.
Yep. So there you have it. The richest woman female, I almost said impersonator, but I don't think that's right. Rihanna is your world's richest female musician.
Would have never
for
guessed
2019.
That.
Me neither.
In fact, we didn't.
No. Even after I saw the answer, I didn't guess it. That's not good. All right, we'll take a break, and then we'll check in with CNET next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
That music can only mean one thing. It is a Tech Tuesday around these here parts at WGN Radio. And Roger Chang is on the air with us, executive editor over at CNET. You can find him at CNET.com. Roger, how are you?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Good. Yesterday, I have two sons that were sitting in front of the TV. The volume was blasted. They were hooting and hollering. And I said, what is going on? And they said, E3. And my husband said, that's the Super Bowl for gamers. What is E3 and why is it so exciting?
Well, your husband's correct. E3 is one of the biggest video game conferences of the year. It's really where the video game industry shows off a lot of the new hardware, a lot of the new games, and really kind of teases out what the video game world looks like in the coming year.
So what's new? What's happening? What were they hooting and hollering about?
They were likely hooting and hollering about a couple of things. I think Microsoft introduced the new version of its Xbox coming next year. It runs 8K video, which we're still waiting for 4K stuff, so they're already kind of feature-proofing themselves. But really, I think the game that stole the show so far is a game called Cyberpunk 2077, and it's really notable because Keanu Reeves is actually going to be in the game. He actually showed up at the press conference, which I think it drove people crazy. Obviously, Keanu Reeves, off of the high of John Wick 3, is a pretty buzzy guy, and so he really got gamers just really, really jazzed up.
Roger, do you foresee a day where Keanu Reeves is in every video game, or is this a rarity?
I mean, isn't he already?
Oh, yeah, I think he is.
He was in all the Matrix movies. I mean, it was a good prelude to the reality of Keanu Reeves just being everywhere.
Yep.
And there are celebrities involved in gaming. Wasn't Macaulay Culkin involved in the new Toe Jam and Earl?
Look, celebrities and video games go kind of hand in hand, and so it's an easy way for a video game publisher to really drum up some attention by partnering up with a big name.
All right, so Nintendo, what are they doing that's exciting everyone?
Nintendo actually has its press conference. It starts in about 10 minutes. They're going to offer up some more details we expect on some of their key games, whether it's Smash Brothers, whether it's Mario Maker 2, or the new Pokemon game they've been touting the last couple of weeks. So we should hear a bit more information about that.
Are these strictly new games, Roger, or do they have new consoles coming out, any of the companies?
So we're kind of in that mid-cycle. We're not quite ready for new hardware yet, but Microsoft did show off, or at least tease, the next Xbox. That's the Project Scarlet box that's supposed to run 8K video, be four times as fast as the current console, but that's not coming out until next year. Sony's also teased out its next-generation hardware, but that's also not for this year as well. So we can expect new hardware, but it's just not going to be for a little while.
And where does virtual reality stand? Is it getting more momentum, or is it losing?
VR is still kind of a gimmick at this point. It's a great segue to another story we wrote up. Imagine Dragons is actually partnering up with a VR game called Beat Saber. It's sort of like Guitar Hero, but you're instead of playing guitar, you're using virtual swords to slash through keynotes. And so VR is definitely it's one of those technologies that have been so heavily hyped up, but the letdown has been kind of as dramatic as well. So it's still out there, but it's really still at this point trying to figure out what its audience is.
Am I the only one who's surprised that a lot of these bands prior to Imagine Dragons sold their soul to the Guitar Hero and thing and Rock Band, like the Beatles? That shocked me that their catalog just came out. All the other bands, that kind of surprised me. Am I the only one that was surprised by that?
Yeah, you have to remember, it was a huge phenomenon for a while, right? Everyone was either buying a Rock Band set or a Guitar Hero set, and just that was going to be the wave of the future for gaming. It quickly fizzled out, but I remember, rocking out with my friends on the Rock Band set, and, it was fun while it lasted.
See if you can give me the answer to this, Roger. The very first Rock Band involved in a video game. Can you do that?
You stumped me.
Metallica?
No, Journey. In 1983, they had their own video game. They were the first band in a rock.
They had their own video game?
Yeah, it wasn't good.
I can't even imagine.
It was not good.
Well, 1983, was it an Atari game, or was that?
I can't remember if it was Atari or Intellivision. It was one or the other.
Steve Perry trying to beat up other bands? What? Yeah. I don't even understand what the concept could have been.
We used to play it and we couldn't understand the concept. It didn't make sense.
That is so funny. Yeah. All right, well, put that in your arsenal, Roger, for a trivia question that no one will care about.
Mm-hmm.
And Amazon Prime Day, when is it? What's happening? People get excited about it.
Right, Amazon Prime Day, it's become, I mean, it started off as just like a, you know, a little promotional stunt to celebrate its own anniversary, and it's become this huge phenomenon. It's basically the Black Friday of summer. We don't have an official, date, but July 15th is sort of what the rumors are pointing to. There's already a bunch of Amazon gear on sale, but you could expect a huge amount of stuff. But keep in mind, it's not all great stuff that's on that's discounted, right? There's a lot of crap that's discounted, but there's also a lot of good steals. But yeah, right now we're looking at July 15th as sort of the big day.
What are the items that are, electronics? Where do you go for a great deal on Amazon Prime Day? What's the specialty?
Oftentimes, electronics definitely get the sort of the most generous discounts. Particularly, Amazon products. Surprise, surprise! If you're looking for an Echo Dot or an Echo Hub, those are the ones that tend to get the best discounts. You also see discounts on TVs, video games, really just a wide array of products. But electronics in general tend to get some of the best deals.
Is there a new Nintendo Switch coming out, or did it?
There are constant rumors about a new Nintendo Switch. Nintendo's confirmed that we won't be seeing one here at E3. We might see one later this year, but that's still kind of unclear.
That's one of the most fun systems.
Yeah.
You see people, you can honestly bring it anywhere, put it on any TV.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. With Toys R Us,
it's the best. It's the best console for a parent who's got a couple of kids that they're juggling, right? Because I can put it down immediately and run off to the kid, come back, and if the kids are monopolizing the TV, you've got your own little screen to play on.
Right.
Roger, with Toys R Us going under last year, did that affect video game sales dramatically, or are people getting them different ways?
I think people are getting them in different ways. I mean, you're also seeing struggles at GameStop as well, another brick-and-mortar retailer. But keep in mind that folks are buying games in different ways, right? They are buying them through Amazon. It's increasingly popular to either stream games or download games. You talk about the Switch. Nintendo has its own eShop that you can download games from. So it hasn't necessarily hurt the overall video game sales, but it's a more reflection of how we're buying things differently nowadays.
I'm thinking about it. I have a 16-year-old and 20-year-old, so really into the games. We used to go to GameStop or Toys R Us or Best Buy all the time, and now Amazon makes it so sometimes you can get same-day delivery of these things. It's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and a lot of these consoles are making it easier for you just to download the game, so you don't actually need a physical disc anymore. So it's even easier to get a game without having to go out to a store.
All right, well, Tech Tuesday, and he is Roger Chang, executive editor over at CNET. What are you working on right now? You're going to be at E3?
Fortunately, my colleagues are handling the craziness of E3. I'm looking at other issues. It's the one-year anniversary of the net neutrality laws being struck down by the SEC, so I'm really hunkering down on that.
All right, well, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Roger. Roger Chang of CNET. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news and then more of us, Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand. He's in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Yep, I agree. Can't argue with that. That's logical. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. How do you reach us? 312-981-7200. That's the call line and the text line. 312-981-7200. Wendy, this qualifies as public service. There's a website called bestlife.com, and they have come up with a bunch of things that if you're over the age of 40, you should no longer possess.
Why do we'll I think we're guilty of all of these?
I'm guilty of nearly every one of these. Wait till you hear this. When you're young, they say over on bestlife.com, when you're young, all you want is more of everything, more stuff, more food, more money, more recognition, you name it. But once you get older, you come to the realization that less really is more. Do you agree with that? Is less really more?
I would like to have that happen, but I don't buy that.
No. It says there's also a lot that you can ditch at the age of 40, like negative thinking, ironic T-shirts, and anything that is beneath your exalted status in life as a post-40 person. And so they've put together a bunch of these things that if you're over the age of 40, you should no longer have. Steve, Mary, jump right in. Number one, hoodies.
I love hoodies. I will never get rid of hoodies. That is a stupid one to start with.
That's a bad one because it's now they're omnipresent.
Yes.
You can't buy a sweatshirt. Everything comes has a hood on it.
There is an almost always automatic attachment for
it. What are you wearing right now?
That would be a hoodie.
My pajamas have a hood.
Yeah.
I love hoodies. I will not. And they make like hip hoodies. Like sometimes they have fashionable ones.
Right. See my pajamas.
Yep.
I hope to keep it that way. Unless we have a pajama party.
Now, normally, I don't like anything that ends in IES because it's too cute.
Yeah.
Like besties or selfies or veggies. Or I don't
foodies.
Like anything. Yeah. I don't like anything that ends in IES. Way too cute.
But hoodies?
But the hooded sweatshirt, as I like to call it, Wendy, the hooded sweatshirt is functional and fashionable.
I love them.
Yep. Me too. And if I do join a gang, if I do, I'm already ready. I have gang wear. If I join, I may not
join. Instead of being a hood, you'd
be
a hoodie.
Yes. Glitter.
Glitter's dumb and should have never been invented.
Ah.
That's for kindergarten and maybe first grade.
And nothing beyond.
Nope.
Steve, Mary, glitter?
Too messy.
Well,
what do you use glitter for as a 40-year-old?
It's just,
okay. Does this involve your pajama party?
Please notice me.
That's why I have a hood.
Well, what do you mean glitter? Like, I have eyeshadow that's sparkly, but it's not glitter.
The picture they show is a woman who has a good amount of glitter under each of her eyes.
Well, that's stylish, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not literal glitter, is it? I mean, because they make highlighting cream that sparkles.
It's like, I don't know how to describe it other than it's the stuff that you would put on with an applicator, like eye makeup, but it has a much more glittery finish than anything you've worn.
What I'm thinking is like a stationery store sells glitter that you put in a card so when somebody opens it,
it
falls all over.
Yeah, that's heavy-duty glitter.
But so wearing? I'm sparkly.
Women,
do you see?
Yeah, but it's yours is a more subtle. Yours doesn't immediate, like, if somebody just quickly walked past you, their first thought wouldn't be, wow, that woman had glitter all over her eyes. But I'm sure you've passed people who have way more glitter as makeup. You've never seen that? I've seen that a couple of times.
So it says as makeup? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
glitter,
as makeup. As
glitter,
makeup.
I just assumed glitter.
It says, unless you're Taylor Swift or a teenager or performing in a Broadway rendition of Midsummer Night's Dream.
Which
glitter,
I was.
You were fantastic.
Thank you.
Glitter is a major no-no, not least of all because it gets everywhere, and we do mean everywhere, it says.
Okay, because I noticed that if you use, I'm a little on the other side of 40, not
mm-hmm.
much. And
just barely. Just got in under the wire.
You too.
Right.
All right, for another few months, I'm older than you, whatever.
Yeah.
But I noticed that when I really liked a matte eyeshadow, but then as you get older,
yes,
honestly, I like the sparkly because it takes away from your wrinkles.
Is that true?
I think it
does.
It
diverts attention.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So that's why I've been using it.
All right. Then that's fine. Number three, here comes the controversy. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Frozen pizza rolls. If you're over the age of 40, that is not a meal.
There are some in my freezer right now, Tatina's Pizza
for
Rolls.
For you or for the family?
For the family, but when I'm making it for them, I will partake in a few. They're good.
And they're still Totino's? They still make them?
Yep.
It says, frozen food and pizza are the cuisine of the college-age student, so combining the two of them in a convenient, tasty snack makes it seem like you're in denial about your age.
I know how old I am, and I know how good they are.
Not only are they super unhealthy... What? Pizza rolls unhealthy? And hardly ideal for your newly slowed down metabolism. Big difference there. They're also embarrassing, it says.
Why
are
they embarrassing?
By the age of 40, you should really know how to cook at least a few basic appetizers.
I do. I grilled steaks on the grill the night before. I
mm-hmm.
haven't made. They are sitting in my freezer right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, you know, I make them for dinner.
Are they for an emergency?
No, Dylan likes them, so they're in there just in case, like, I haven't gone to the store.
Yeah.
And they want a little snack.
Yeah. All right.
But I always have, I always put a few extra. And
yeah.
I'm like a pizza roll Nazi in a sense because I will say, how many do you want? How many do you want? Tell me right now because if I make this amount and you want more, they are going to take 20 minutes.
Right.
And then I always make an extra three or four for me.
Was Totino's the one that was around when we were little? Who was that?
Geno's Pizza Rolls.
Geno's.
They.
Those were the ones that the Lone Ranger and Tonto used to eat.
They had them. They were well over 40.
Yes, both the Lone Ranger and Tonto were over 40. Yes, good point. Great point. If this goes to court, Wendy, say that in court, because that's a great argument. I think that's a great one. This is the first one that I totally 100% agree with. If you're over the age of 40, you should not have these things. Your ex's clothing.
You shouldn't have them a year after you're done.
Exactly. I don't think that has to do with age. That just has to do with what's appropriate. Like, how would Jim like it if you wore a t-shirt from an old boyfriend? He wouldn't like that.
But I wouldn't either.
Regardless of age.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Right. Right, right, right. According to sex coach Amy Levine, put me in, coach. Wearing your ex's clothing.
That was terrible.
Wearing your ex's clothing acts as a quick fix to keep you emotionally content in the moment rather than experiencing the ups and downs of the breakup that are necessary to move beyond it. So I think that's a polite way of saying you should never wear it, not just over 40, right?
I can't believe that's an entry,
right,
because
that
that's just
weird.
Common sense.
Right.
I mean, unless you're not married to anyone else and you have it and
right.
you like it, then
yeah.
keep wearing it.
Yep. Yep. There was a girl I used to date that had an ex-boyfriend's football jersey that she wore from time to time. And I used to say, please, could you please either not wear it around me or ever? Is there some way to just not do that?
First of all,
I love the colors.
I can't believe she didn't figure that out and you had to tell her.
Right. I know. I kept waiting, going, at some point she'll figure this out, right? And she goes, well, it's just a football jersey.
With his name on it?
With his number on it. Oh. Not his name, but his number. Not good. All right. How about this one? If you're over the age of 40, you should no longer have a platonic roommate. Right? Do you agree
yeah,
with that?
But, yes. But, I mean, sometimes, you know, you
because
fall
of prices.
On bad luck. And
we all know that the cost of living versus current salaries makes living alone financially impossible for a lot of people, and there's no shame in that. But if you can afford it, there's nothing like the freedom of being able to walk around your bathroom without any clothes on.
Can I tell
you
the people that are living with a platonic friend over the age of 40 probably don't want to be?
I think sometimes, but not always. Right?
I don't know. Living alone is great. I may try it.
Wow.
I had one roommate, Carla Felicia. Former stand-up and television writer, and then I lived by myself, and then with Jim.
Yeah.
And then with the family.
Yeah.
And I liked living alone.
Did you?
But, I mean, sometimes you can't afford
right.
it.
Let me use as evidence the movie Three Men and a Baby. Those guys were all making pretty good money. Even Gutenberg. I mean, Selleck you can see, and Danson you can see, but Gutenberg was making decent money. They didn't need to share an apartment, the three of those guys.
But they helped out with the...
With the baby.
Yeah.
Later,
whose
little
baby was
little
it?
Lady. I don't know if they ever said.
It was Ted Danson's...
Ted Danson's baby, says
baby,
Eric.
Yeah.
Eric says it was Ted
what
Danson's
What happened to his
baby.
Wife?
I don't remember.
They broke up.
They did?
Yeah, they broke up, and she never told them that she was pregnant, and then the baby just showed up
oh,
on the doorstep.
Right.
Oh, right.
When
right.
did you just see it last weekend? Because I can't believe wow. you remember.
I don't know why I know this either, to be honest with you. I just do.
Remember in scene 31, Wendy, when the baby showed up?
Isn't there a ghost in that Three Men and a Baby? Isn't
yeah,
there like
I don't
a,
buy it.
There's always been
yeah.
a rumor of that.
All right, yeah. so the baby just shows up, and Ted Danson was already living with his...
No, the three of them were all living together.
Prior to the baby's arrival. Arrival?
Yeah.
All right, then that's weird. I thought they hooked up to kind of...
And those guys were all successful. Back me up, Eric.
Well,
they
had an amazing place, too.
Amazing place.
How did the friends get their place? That's what I want to know.
They couldn't have afforded
There's
those
no way.
No. Nope.
Smelly Cat did not sell that many albums
no,
for them
didn't.
To have that, although Good she
point.
Didn't live there.
Good point. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then more of these. If you're over the age of 40, you must discard these things immediately, according to bestlife.com. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Bestlife.com wants to help you out. They have a bunch of things that they say if you're over the age of 40, you should no longer have, like a platonic roommate. What about Felix Unger and Oscar Madison? Are they going to break those fellas up? I hope not.
Well, they were desperate, too. They got kicked out by their wives. They didn't know what to do. However, that should have just been a temporary situation.
Right.
But then we wouldn't have all the hijinks.
We wouldn't have hijinks, Wendy. We need hijinks. What about this? If you're over the age of 40, they say at bestlife.com, you should no longer have what they call intense nail art. That means your nails aren't just painted a color. They've got elaborate designs on your nails. Agreed or disagreed?
I don't care.
You don't care?
I don't partake in that for myself.
You've seen that, right? Where people have like hieroglyphics on their nails and they're all different colors.
Yeah, or a little flower.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think it matters.
No? You can do that over the age of 40? This is really a trend, it says, reserved for liberal arts majors who just got back from backpacking in India and are still struggling to find themselves.
The nails?
Yeah, that if you're wearing nails like that...
I think that's inaccurate.
Yeah. If you're over the age of 40, you should no longer have novelty ties. This is one I don't have to worry about.
You don't wear ties.
I don't know how to tie them.
Well, now see, Jim and the boy, well, they're under 40. Jim's over 40. Mm-hmm. He wears Jerry Garcia ties, and you can't, I mean, they're really cool looking.
Right.
But they're not. I guess that's not novelty.
Like, they're showing
a tie. He does not wear a Star Wars one.
He does not?
No.
Does he own one?
Mm-mm.
Somebody
may have gotten him one as a joke, but he's never.
All right. They're showing one that has a bunch of, like, lipstick kisses all over it, and it says hot and hot kisses. Like, if you went into a meeting with a guy, now, I know the way I dress. It doesn't exactly say professionalism, but if you were sitting down in a meeting with a guy who had a tie like that, you'd go, what am I doing? What am I?
All right, or a suit like that, two words, Pete McMurray.
Yeah. Right.
Like the St. Patrick's Day shamrock suit.
I have to say, with Pete,
he pulls it off.
It works
for
him. I can't describe it, but Pete always wears suits that you go, did you get that at the Riddler's garage sale? Where'd you get that suit? And yet somehow he pulls it off. I don't know how.
It does work, and John Williams bought him one of them at
Kohl's,
did he? I think. Yeah.
If you're over the age of 40, you should stop thinking, in quotes, about having kids. Oh, that's a cruel one. You can still have kids in your 40s. I mean, I know you're older, but if you're a guy...
Well, some women, too, if you've had some.
Right.
I don't know.
It gets riskier, of course.
Yeah, if that's your first one after 40, they say it could be problematic.
They say at Best Life, Wendy, you don't need, this is stressed, you don't need to have kids in your 40s. Oh, that's harsh.
Well, that's none of their business.
So if you're still not sure, don't feel the need to fend off inappropriate questions at parties from relatives by telling people that you're thinking about it. Just own it, it says. That's a tough one.
That's none of their business.
If you're over the age of 40, you should stop not flossing, which is their backwards way of saying you need to be flossing your teeth if you're over the age of 40. According to dentists, 40% of your tooth surface is prone to decay without flossing. And if there's one thing you really want to reverse by the time you're in your 40s, it's those years of giving your teeth a rudimentary scrub before going to bed. So start flossing. Here's another one. If you're over the age of 40, stop trying experimental hairstyles.
I'm not going to stop. I've tamed it.
You don't go drastic, though. You've never done any kind of a weird futuristic...
Flock of seagulls?
Yeah, you've never done that.
No, I did that in the 80s, but I guess, again, under 40.
You're under 40, right? So then it's okay. It says, if you're over the age of 40, stop splitting your bill a million ways. I agree. If I would say even 30 or 35.
I go out with my girlfriends. We try to do it every month, and we always throw our credit cards down.
But
and
you don't
say,
do the itemized.
Well, no, we just split it. If there's four of us, we here's take this amount off of every check.
I have at least twice in the last few months been in a situation where it starts to get itemized, and I go, let's just split it evenly.
Is that what they mean, or just split? Because we split it evenly. I'm not. We don't pick up the whole tab for one another. We pay our share.
Here's what they say. Again, this is according to BestLife.com.
People itemize. They look at the.
I've been in two situations where I can't believe they're doing that. You had the iced tea. You had the ham and suet.
No, how long does that take
just
you?
Just split it up. Asking a server to split a bill perfectly between you and your friends is an amateur move.
Well, we do it every time we go out.
not to mention a mathematical headache. By the time you're in your 40s, you should know that subsidizing somebody's spicy mayo, I'm sorry, isn't going to significantly hurt your bank account, and it'll make things easier for your waiter.
Too bad.
They're saying just split it equally.
No, they're saying don't split it.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, we go out once a month. We try to, and sometimes it's every 2 months. So no one, I can't, we all just put four credit cards down, and we explain, here, put
split
30 on each.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times, one of us will say, oh, Gail, you didn't have as many drinks as Wendy, so Wendy should pay more.
Right.
That's how we do it, but that's not itemizing.
Yeah.
We just feel bad if somebody didn't drink as much as me, usually.
So you usually win that battle.
Yeah. So I'll throw in an extra 10 or something, but that's...
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm going to keep splitting it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
If it's evenly and not a nightmare for the...
Agreed. Totally agreed. If you're over the age of 40, you should no longer have fake plants. Agreed or disagreed?
That's all I have in my house.
Is that true?
Yeah.
But you love gardening.
Outside.
Not inside.
Inside, I kill everything.
Oh.
So I have silk plants, not humans, but I mean like anything plant-wise.
Sure.
They're all silk.
Yeah.
Or whatever, polyester, whatever they are now.
Yeah.
I don't like any of these.
If you want, I'll throw it away then. It's tossed.
What else?
Here's one more. I'll just throw this one out. Tell me your thoughts on this. If you're over the age of 40, baseball caps. Did you ever see these guys that wear a baseball cap every day, Wendy? What are they thinking?
You should throw this out.
Is the softball game just going to break out of nowhere? Come on.
See, I say that this is interesting to talk about, but do what you want and bop till you drop.
Bop till you drop. Couldn't agree more. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news, and then there's more show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Eric. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. I'm a bit of a space nerd, and we are going to talk about something that we saw in the news and wanted to find out more about. We are talking to someone from NASA right now. Robin Gatens is on the line with us, Deputy Director of the International Space Station at NASA headquarters. Houston, we do not have a problem. How are you, Robin?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you?
We're pretty good. It's pretty exciting that the International Space Station, how long has it been up there?
It's been up there. We launched the first element in 1998, and it's been now fully assembled, and we're well into using the International Space Station every day. We've got six crew on board right now conducting all kinds of research.
All right, that's pretty cool. So 1998, it went up there in bits and pieces. As you said, it was finally assembled. And in the next several years, tourists will be able to go visit. Explain this.
Yes. So last Friday at NASDAQ, we rolled out a five-part plan that's new for NASA, and where we're opening up the space station for the first time to private citizens to fly themselves or their research to conduct on the International Space Station.
Was that the plan all along, Robin, or is that just something that occurred to you guys recently?
We've been working on this for the past couple of years, trying to put together pieces of this plan, and it's been sort of enabled by our commercial cargo and crew providers that we're already using. Boeing, SpaceX will be flying commercial crew to the space station in the next year. We have SpaceX and Northrop Grumman already flying cargo, so we're using commercial providers to fly flights to the space station, and launching off of that, we've been working on opening up other avenues for commercial companies to use the space station to explore other market areas.
How many pieces of checked-in luggage are you allowed, and do you charge for carry-on?
Well, we outline all that in our new policy that you can check out on our website that we rolled out.
All right, so it's up to two people and per year. So this is going to be pretty selective.
No,
wait, I'm sorry. Go
actually,
ahead.
It's actually two flights. We're allowing up to two flights per year.
All right.
And each flight can have multiple people. That'll be up to the launch providers as to how many seats they want to fill. two flights, though, and for up to 30 days at a time.
Wow.
What do you do for 30 days? And I guess my big question is, how long does it take you to get there?
It just takes a few hours to get there. So it's a relatively quick flight. You would launch from Florida, and you would be on the station within a few hours. And once you acclimate to zero gravity, start doing the activities that that you want to do, whether it be stare out the window or conduct research or film a commercial, all of those are possibilities.
Has the price been determined yet, Robin, or not yet?
So the price for the whole trip would be arranged through these commercial providers. NASA's not trying to set those prices. The only thing that NASA has put in our policy are for things that we would charge resources for on the actual space station.
Yeah.
So sort of your food and water and things of that nature.
Can you even venture a guess at what something like this would cost, or is that impossible at this point?
So somewhere in the $50 to $60 million range, probably, including the transportation cost.
Right. All right, who's gonna do this?
I have a coupon, Wendy, so there's ways to do it.
Because the information we have, and correct us if we're wrong, Robin Gatens is on the line with us, Deputy Director of the ISS at NASA. Life support systems, all necessary supplies considered, it will cost an eye-watering $35,000 per night at minimum. And it's 30 days.
Yeah, that's just for the NASA on-orbit piece, right?
All right.
Mm-hmm.
But transportation's going to be additional.
Transportation would be additional, yes.
Yeah. So it adds up, and that is a lot of money, but I bet as soon as they announced this, Robin, there were people lining up to do it anyway, right, despite the price.
Well, it is a lot of money, and you're right, not the subsection of private citizens that can afford such a trip is pretty small, but what you may not realize is there are other countries today that are interested in flying their own astronauts to the space station who are not able to today because they're not part of one of our, official space station partners. So in addition to private citizens, astronauts from other countries can also take advantage of this as long as they fly through a U.S. entity and arrange their trip through a U.S. company.
Do you imagine that will happen more times than not, or will it be private citizens as we had talked about already?
I think probably the market studies that we've seen have shown that the greater demand initially, at least, is probably through these astronauts from other countries versus tourists.
All right.
So what kind of tests and studies are they doing out there? I'm sure they have artificial gardens, not even artificial, real gardens. What's going on test-wise out there?
On the space station today, we've got a wide variety of research and technology demonstration going on. You mentioned gardens. We've actually are trying to grow plants in space. We see that as a necessary crop production as part of our capabilities that we're going to need to take humans into deep space. So that's actually part of our NASA research that we're doing today, is how to grow plants and supplement food for the crew. We're also doing a lot of research on pharmaceuticals, medical research, precision medicine, advanced manufacturing in space, things like fiber optic cables and other materials that can take advantage of the microgravity environment to manufacture products that better than we can here on the ground.
It's a very hefty price tag. I have to say, I would just be completely intrigued with going, but I'd also be a little scared traveling out into space. Is it scary? Are my fears real?
Well, I understand the ride itself is pretty thrilling, those who have ridden on the rocket. Once you're in space, I think it's pretty peaceful, actually, and not scary. The space station is very safe. and we've been flying it for 20 years now and keeping crews alive, so it's gotten to be fairly routine, not risk-free, I will say that, but the crew enjoys some free time on space station and relaxation. They can look out the window of the cupola on the Earth, and it gives them just a whole new perspective to see the Earth from that vantage point.
Robin, is the crew being trained yet on how to handle people that really have very limited amounts of training? Is that happening yet, or is that down the line a little bit?
That's down the line a little bit, and we will have to be trained if you want to fly. There will be some training that you'll have to go through, not the rigors of what our NASA astronauts go through, but basic set of training as well as medical screenings.
Donald Trump takes pride.
Oops, sorry. We're bleeding over from the newsroom. As you were saying, I didn't know if you finished your thought, Robin.
Oh, I think I did. I was talking about the training. You'll have to have some training and some medical screening. Yeah.
What's the food like? Is it really all dehydrated and space food sticks and all that stuff?
The food today is what we call prepackaged. So not unlike pre-prepared meals you would buy in the store. It has been dehydrated, and the crew adds water and heats it up and then eats it straight out of the package. And then there's some fresh food that we fly on each cargo mission, so they get fresh fruits and vegetables and even some ice cream and pizza.
Oh.
Seriously? Oh, my God, that's great.
Delivered, or do they already have... It's still Giorno, probably, right, in the frozen department?
Anything, I think it's sort of like a pita that you can spread the sauce on. You know, everything sort of has to stick so it doesn't fly away. But the crew really enjoys that. However, for future missions, we're not going to be able to fly quite the variety that we're able to fly to space station today. So that's why we're working on research to... try to minimize the food system while still providing the nutrients that the crew is going to need, as well as some variety and some fresh food.
How many people are on the space station right now?
Six people on the space station right now.
How long have they been on there?
And two women. How long have they been there? Each crew, we kind of rotate them, stays up for about 6 months at a time. So we'll fly three at a time. And so we've got a crew actually returning to Earth soon. And then they'll be followed by another three launching shortly after that. So that's how we do our crew rotations.
Any robots, Robin? Because I watch a lot of movies and that never ends well.
Yes, we just flew it doesn't have a face. It's called Astrobee. It looks like a free-flying cube of sorts, and it's a relatively new robot that we just flew to space station that will help the crew by flying around, taking inventory, doing some experiments on its own. It has its own camera. So we're just now starting to use that. In addition, we've flown a robot you may have seen called Robonaut earlier that actually looks more human-like. So we're looking at how we can add robots to assist the crew, not only on space station, but as we do missions further away and have, like the Gateway where it will be human-tended, you know, we could have robot caretakers in between the humans coming and going.
Oh, all right.
This is pretty cool. Is the wireless connection pretty good up there?
Yeah, communication is very good. The crew gets to talk to their families and to the ground pretty continuously.
Is there a plan, Robin, that in the future, because this is, I mean, I know it's part of the International Space Station, but you have primary objectives. Are they looking at something a few years down the line where it'll be focused mainly on having private citizen visit, or is that what this will accomplish?
Well, we'll see where it goes. We're excited to see what this new policy will bring. The first part of it is the private astronauts on the space station that we have today, but we could, another part of our policy is to enable an additional module to be added to the space station. We have an available port and we're going to be soliciting proposals for a module to attach to station that would be privately owned.
Mm-hmm.
So we could have additional crew doing activities in there that would be private, doing anything from manufacturing to television shows. We can't even imagine the possibilities. That's why we're trying to enable all of this. And then eventually, we hope to have free-flying space stations that, you know, could break off from space station and be on their own. Maybe we share transportation as the next step. And then ultimately, private space stations to take over after the International Space Station.
Ambitious. Very ambitious.
This is so cool. She's Deputy Director of the International Space Station at NASA headquarters. Her name is Robin Gatens. Have you ever been up to the International Space Station, or are you willing to go up there?
No, I haven't gone. Yes, I would be willing. However, I'm happy to do my part here on the ground to enable our astronauts and now private citizens to go.
Well, it sounds pretty great. Maybe, Bill, you and I can be the first radio show to broadcast
from
the ISS.
We'll do a show from there. All right, I'm in.
Well, thank you for clearing up some of this stuff. I have this goofy app that's called Skyview, and you can move it around and see where the space station is at any moment. And it says it's the largest artificial body in orbit. That is true, isn't it?
That's true. And in addition to your goofy app, be sure to sign up for Spot the Station. If you go on the web and just type Spot the Station, all run together, you can put in your zip code, and you'll get a text message or an email every time the space station is flying overhead.
I love
it. So you know exactly where to watch for it, and that's really exciting.
Excellent. We would love to talk to you again as this progresses and find out more information. It's been a pleasure to meet you, Robin.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Robin. Appreciate it. That's Robin Gatens, Deputy Director of the International Space Station at NASA headquarters.
Now I want to go.
Yeah, you're going to have to start saving. It's
oh,
a little pricier.
The station will pick it up. We'll be the first radio station.
Right. They would.
I'm sure my God. Would. The advertising.
Right. Get a lot of price. All right.
For your how much million?
Right, 50 to 60 million.
No, it's nothing.
No. All right, a little break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I want to go to the International Space Station. I know I was scared at first, but now it seems like it would be...
better now?
Well, it would just be so cool. Maybe it'll come down in price a little bit.
Maybe.
All right, coming up, the stories that matter with Eric Rung. It's all happening in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.